to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back, joined as we have the high privilege of being each week by Diana West, one of the most interesting people I know in the Washington, D.C. operation these days. She is a longtime syndicated columnist and blogger par excellence, and you can find her writings at dianawest.net. Also, check out her two best-selling books, Death of the Grown-Up and American Betrayal, the latter being a particularly important work at this moment as we are recognizing, mourning is a better verb, the 100th anniversary of the Bolshevik Revolution's beginning of the communist enterprise in so much of the world with such devastating costs. And Diana, we spoke yesterday with Claudia Rosette, another serious student of the communists. She called this anniversary a moment to reflect on what was the greatest disaster of the 20th century. And I wonder what your thoughts are.
Yes, well, I think that's a very reasonable assessment. I would add to that that the reaction to it is what caused the greatest disasters, and that would be the failures in the West to stop it, to overturn it, to push it back at so many different decision points, as a president I don't like very much used to talk about, but at so many very particular times in history, there were opportunities that were missed or subverted from within. And that, to me, is sort of the part of what is the ongoing cataclysm of that event.
Yeah, and I know in particular from your book, American Betrayal, that the failure to understand this threat, and in particular, the fact of the enemies within, did materially contribute to policy choices and mistakes in the run-up to, during, and after World War II. I wonder whether similar mistakes are being made today, Diana. We're, of course, also noting the victories yesterday in Virginia and New Jersey of Democratic candidates. It is worth observing that if not communism itself, certainly socialism, which is part of the cancer that the communists have imparted to the world, is very much alive and well in democratic circles these days. Talk a little bit about that and what that means for our continuing failure to understand what we're up against in at least this sphere, the communist sphere.
Yes, well, I think it's a very important question and it's a very important topic. And of course, inevitably, it is the case that that vehicle for communism, socialism and communism, to me, are generally interchangeable. We can argue about the various definitional differences, and yet we're still going toward the collective. We're still going away from individual liberty. That is the basis that unites them. And there's certainly tactical differences in how this is achieved in terms of who is a communist, who would identify socialist. I believe it is the case that Marx used the terms interchangeably going back to the 19th century. Given that, how can it be that we have this socialist expansion that has essentially changed our entire system without people even understanding that it happened that way? And this is essentially the crux of the tragedy, which is that it was not simply a revolutionary moment that empowered a certain kind of government. This was part and parcel, the worldwide subversion of other governments was part of that and is part of that same revolution. So it's not simply good enough to look at this in a strategic sense of a country changing governments. You have to look at what happened to your own country. And this is where I think Americans continue, and Westerners generally, to miss the implications of the success of communism first notably in Russia, but the impact of it here, we are still not understanding that that revolution happened here too, in terms of the Comintern, in terms of the global efforts of armies of communists to subvert, to change the world. And yet, this is what we're sort of straining under this this force that continues to subvert basically what we can look back to as our Constitution and our constitutional way of government.
Diana, there's so many points to that that warrant further exploration. We won't have time to do justice to any of them, I'm afraid. But just very quickly, one is, of course, I had the privilege of serving with President Reagan, as you know, and helped in a small way with his strategy for destroying the Soviet Union. Alas, it now is increasingly evident that while he did his level best to do that, and there is superficially at least evidence that it succeeded, there was basically a reorganization of the old enterprise under essentially similar management and with the same objectives. That's point one. Point two, if you could stitch this together, democratic socialism is a means of obscuring the true character of this abiding, as you say, endeavor to take us down. Trevor Loudon has done an extraordinary job documenting the numbers of prominent democratic lawmakers and politicians who have associated themselves over the years with the democratic socialists, or even worse, the unabashedly sort of pro-communist elements. What does this mean for the problem of our current time, and looking at communists in North Korea, communists in China, communists in Vietnam, for that matter, with whom the president is engaging at the moment during his travels in Asia?
Yes, and I would also mention Latin America. Well, again, the problem is the failure to acknowledge these policies and these programs as socialist. And the cloak of words like progressive, democratic socialist sounds nice. It sounds like there's some place for the common man in there to have his say. I mean, essentially, this is an information war that has been completely successful in terms of, one, making anti-communists radioactive and considered freakish, and making democratic socialists slash progressives slash Alinskyites, etc., slash liberals, we have to include liberals in this same discussion, they are the cool people. And it's as ridiculous as it sounds to reduce it to these terms. It seems that these auras are tremendously powerful to this day, and this feeds into the whole capacity of the information sphere in terms of media and sort of the amplification of these very themes that become essentially a form of conditioning, social conditioning, the education system we didn't mention, which of course is at the very basis of all of this, because these become social laboratories where our children are brought up to believe very, very concrete things about the world that actually support this same socialist movement. So these are all real things, agenda, and it has been very successful. And I think that this is why it is a great strategic failure not to go back and look at what really happened and try to part the curtains and understand how we were completely fooled by so many of these momentous events and great people who did not understand or were part of the problem in terms of explaining to us, in terms of leading the country in what has been ineffably this direction toward the left. The Bolsheviks would be happy.
They are doubtless celebrating in whatever inferno they can inhabit in hell. Diana, we have to leave it at that for the moment, but the trouble is that this is, as you say, a persistent problem in our time as well, and makes all the more necessary the terrific work you do at dianawest.net. I know you'll come back to us next week. I hope the rest of you will do the same again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.